Good morning, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful day. To continue, we left off. We're starting the second chapter in Bava Metzia, Elul Metzias. Dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely. These are the, if you found something that's laws that belongs to you, you can keep it. And these are those who you're obligated to publicize, to announce, that the owner should come and identify them so they can be restored. These are the lists. These are materials shaloi, lots of pages. We found fruits that scattered. Or money that's scattered. Kriches, which is a rabbin, or bundles. Bundles of stalks of
small sheaths.
Yeah, small sheaths.
In the public domain, not in the private.
In the public domain, right. Viguli devela, and pressed figs. Like cakes, round figs, pressed figs, cake. Kikr shal nachte, loaves of bread from the baker. String fish, string together.
Right, baker's
laws
versus
right.
Your own home.
Yeah, yeah, right. We'll see. We'll think. And slices, pieces of meat. Gizit zemer. And fleeced.
Fleeces of wool.
Alukuchin mimdinasan.
Unprocessed.
Unprocessed. They were bought from.
There's no simen in these.
They're brought from elsewhere.
Yeah, right.
They pishto, and you bought, right. They're just unprocessed. Anitze pishto, bundles of flax. Ulshein shel argamon, and combed wool. Purple wool dyed. They're dyed. Dyed. For example, dyed in purple. Purple wool. Areilu shaloi. All of these belong to you. This whole list, if you find it, it's yours. Divrei Rav Meir. It's the opinion of Rav Meir. Why is it yours? Because there's no identifying marks. How are you going to identify it? You found money. I mean, money can belong to anyone. Fruits. All of these things can belong to anyone. So therefore, it belongs to you. Surely the owner gave up hope, and there's, you know, he has no hope of ever finding it, getting it back, because how are you going to identify it? So the owner gave up hope. So therefore, it belongs to the finder. Legitimately, it belongs to the finder. You get to keep it. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol sheyesh b'shinui chayav lahachris." Anything with there's a change, unusual, then you have to announce it. Kate said, "How is this? What does he mean? Matzah, eagle, or b'toyche cheres." If he finds a round press cake of a dried fig, and inside
piece of pottery,
or kikar, or he finds a loaf of bread, there's money inside the loaf of bread.
Yes,
right. So therefore, since it's something different, something unusual, so you can identify it by that. You can tell them, you found money in a piece of, who hides money in a loaf of bread? It's a very ingenious, but Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir says, even in these two cases, that's the argument. It's only these two, that's the argument. Rav Meir says, even in these cases, even if there's a difference, you still get to keep it. And what are they arguing? What's the argument?
This type of vessel, whatever it is.
Yeah. Emporium. New vessels that the person doesn't get, that is not used to it yet. You know, he doesn't yet have. No, when after you have to own something for very long, like you look at your suitcase, it could be the same as many other suitcases, but if you have it for long enough, you look at it, you recognize it. You didn't have it, it's a new vessel, so you didn't have it for any time that you can recognize it just by looking at it. So kelim chadashim, kaklei ampuri ein chayav lahachris. If it's like new vessels, you don't have to. It sounds like surely the owner disowned it. The owner gave up hope of ever finding it, and therefore it's yours. Yours to keep. Dr. Gimar, matzah peiros mezuzah and mekama. How many fruits?
Hoping that they do some good things along the way.
What's considered scattered fruits? How many?
How much is a scattered? What size area is considered scattered?
Yitzchak, Yitzchak says, kav. A kav of fruits, the arba amas. With four square amas, kav of fruits, and four square amas. I mean, four by four, 16 square amas, then it's considered, which is like a square foot or a little of more than 24 square foot in the area. If you find scattered a kav of fruits, then it's yours. You get to keep. If it's more than a kav, within 24 square feet, it's not considered scattered, and then you have to return it to the owner. Okay. The Gemara says, "Hey, Chidami, how is it? If you can tell that it fell or just scattered, the guy was going home from the grocery and the bag ripped and it just fell. Maybe he wasn't even aware of it and it just fell. Even tufanami, even if it's more than a cup, it's his. Why? Because there's no identifying marks, and the owner surely gave up hope of ever finding it." But if it looks like it was placed there intentionally, yeah, right, even less than that. Namiloi, even if it's less than a cow, also it's not yours. Not only up until a cow. Even less than a, not only a kav is not yours, even less than a kav is not yours.
So
Rabbi Yitzchak says, we're talking about Mechnashta de Bedori Yaskinda. The laws in the Mishnah about scattered fruits, it's not talking about a regular loss and found. We're talking about when you gather the fruits or the stalks from the granary, and then you find in this area that you have leftover scattered kernels after you swept away
the good stuff,
right? So the Mishnah holds a kav. When a person has left over the wakav within four amas, within the 24 square feet, it's not worth the effort of trying to gather it together. He just leaves it. He just leaves it. So therefore, he's making it ownerless. He's rendering it ownerless. By walking away, I don't want to bother to pick up. It's not worth it to pick up. So therefore, it belongs to anyone who finds it. But less than that, if it's less than four amas, or if it's more than a kav, tadach, a person would bother. He's coming back to take it. He never made it on the list. It's his. I never have permission to take my fruits or to take my yield. I stalk. Okay. So he's not talking about a regular lost and found. A regular lost and found. And if he left it there, then you're not allowed to touch it. And if it fell, then even if it's a lot, it fell, there's no identifying marks, and of course the owner gave up hope. They were talking about in your granary, after you remove all the grain but you still find some left over there. So it depends how much, and if it means that the owner walked away from it, it's not worth his effort, and therefore it's ownerless or not. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says. A kav and arba amas. If it's more than arba amas, more than a kav, then he will go back. If it's a kav, then he won't go back. It's not worth it. Yeah. Rabbi Yirmir was always very exact. He asked these type of questions. Chatzi kav, v'shtei amas ma. What if it's a half a kav within half of that space, within the 12 feet, a little more than 12 square feet, ma. You know, two amas. The reason why four amas is because it's too much of a bother. So if it's only chatzikav, shnei amas, it's not a big bother. It's a small area. It's worth it for the owner to go back and to sweep it up. Maybe he doesn't make it onus. Dilma, perhaps.
Sorry.
Dilma, shem d'loy chashivim. Or maybe because it's insignificant. Even a kav, if it's within that amount of space, it's insignificant. It's not worth his time. So chatzi kav b'shtei ames, kivin lechashivi. So how much more? So half a kav and two ames, it's also insignificant. Mafkel, he's going to make it on. That's his question. Another question he had, kabayim b'shtei ames. What if he has two kavim in double the amount of space, in eight ames? Eight by eight ames. So time limit. What's the reason Mishnah is too much of a bother? Kolshkin kabayim b'shtei ames, too much of a bother. It's spread out over such a large space. Two kavim to go start sweeping it up is not worth the hassle. How much more so the chayut tvei? How much more so that mafkele he gives it up? I do perhaps from the chshiv. The reason is because it's insignificant. But the kabayim shmei namas two kavim is significant. Even if it's shmei namas, he's gonna collect it. He's not giving up. He's coming back to sweep it up. It's not on. A third question he had: what if kav shumshimin? You have a kav of sesame seeds,
which is even higher. So the connection
which are very tiny and very difficult to sweep up. It's insignificant. But sesame seeds are very significant. Even though it's a pain in the neck to sweep them up, he's not giving it up. A dilma, perhaps, because it's too much of a bother, too much of a hassle. Koshkin, how much more so shrimp from him, which is even greater hassle than collecting grains. How much more so? It's even greater hassle. Mafkla, surely he gives a fourth question, and Kav, Tamri, Barbams. By the way, this is the first thing that yeshiva we learn. All yeshiva students, is like they start learning. This is the first gemara they start learning. Eilu Mitzius. Rabbi Yirmi is already showing, right in the beginning, he's showing us how you have to think and examine. He says four different questions based on Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. And the fourth question he had is, kav tamri, what if you have a kav of dates? Arbam, so it was spread over four ams. Kav rimoini, and you have a kav of pomegranates. Barbamas. Mao, what's the law? What's the law? What's the question? Barbamas time. The reason, if grain, if you naramas, why you say it's ownerless and you can take it for yourself, it's insignificant. So in that case, kavtamdi barbamas, kavdi barbamas nami, lekshivi mafkal. It's also not significant. A kav of dates, how significant is it? A kav of pomegranate, it's not so significant. Surely the owner renders it ownerless. Grain is difficult to gather up. It's spread all over the floor to sweep it up, to gather up. It's a pain in the neck, so it's not worth the hassle. But kaftamri barbamas, kavrimayri barbamas, but dates and pomegranate, kivin lafshah, what's the big deal? It's very easy to collect. They're big fruits, or dates. It's not a big deal to collect them. So maybe in that case, Limakulu Lona doesn't give up hope, he's coming back to sweep it up. My take on all of these questions, we don't have the answer. It remains in place. The question remains in place. We don't know the answer to this question. Or Teiko also is an acronym for Tishbi Yataris Kusha Bais. Elio will come. He'll answer all of these questions. Elio was also the head of the Bezdin. He was the head of the. He was the eighth in line. The head of the Jewish Supreme Court. The transmission of the whole oral Torah. He's the expert in all these things. So he'll come back. When he comes back, he'll answer. When Mashiach comes, he'll answer all these questions.
Yeah, for sure.
Taisus asked a billion questions. One of the questions of Yirmiyah was, what if it's a half a kav in two amas, two by two? Square feet of, square amas of two by two. So Taisus asked, wait a minute. a kav in four amas, so you have half a kav here and half a kav there. What's your question? If you're going to say that a person will not give up hope for a half a kav and will go and collect a half a kav in two amas, so why doesn't he collect? He has two half kav in two amas. Well, I mean, a kav includes two halves.
Right.
One half in this half, one half in two, one half in two. So what's the question? If you're going to say that you're trying to ask if an owner will not give up hope and collect a half a kav in two amas, so then every case of a kav in four amas, split it up in half, like one kav and one kav, half a kav and half a kav.
Here you got the full four, and here you got two. So when you take your second, there might be
One answer, okay, that's one answer Taisus gives, that once he looks at the whole picture, he says, oh, it's a half. He doesn't look at a half, he looks at the whole thing, he says, you know, I'm not going to bother.
Especially
it's only a half, it's no big deal, I'll go back.
Especially if it's barley.
But the other answer, he says, it could be that when he says a kav in 4x4, that means that each half of a kav is within the full two. It's two by four. In other words, there's two in the width and four in the length. So it is spread out over a bigger, wider area. Indeed, if his question is, what if the half a kav is limited to a small area of 2x2? Then maybe in that case, the owner does not give up hope. That's his question. This is explained why they say in the Mishnah only bundles in the public, not in the private domain. Of course, in the private domain, why? Because we're talking about there's no if there's a sign, there's an identifying mark. Then why can't he? Why did the owner give up hope? We're talking about it doesn't have an identifying mark. But why don't I? How about the address? How about I can give the address where I left it?
What's the difference between these two?
So in a private place, I can say, I can tell you exactly where I put it down. I put it right in front of this address. That's an identifying mark. But in the public, things get kicked around. People walk in the public, things get moved around, knocked around. So therefore, if you give an address, it's not a sign. That's why he makes a distinction between, and that's why he talks about a case where the person left it there. We're not talking about a case where a person dropped it. If a person dropped it, his bundle, and even in the private domain, he would give up hope. If it has no identifying mark, even if I in a private place, it's a bundle of wheat that looks like any other bundle. So of course he would give up hope. But he didn't drop it. You can tell he placed it. And therefore, in a private place, he can tell you the address. I'll tell you exactly where I left it. Where I left my grocery bags. But in the street, in the public, things get kicked around, things get moved around. That's why the owner gives up hope. He says, how can I identify it? I can never identify it because I'm sure it got moved around, pushed around. But the it's unlikely that the bundles will fall. It's very precious. You're not going to suddenly forget that you dropped this very expensive item that you're carrying. So surely he must have left it there, and then he forgot. He forgot. He placed it. He stopped to eat lunch. He put it, and then he forgot. The other things that have identifying marks, for example, loaves that were baked in a home, not the commercial loaves, which they're all identical, but loaves that were baked in the home, which each one has their signature.
Right.
Therefore, even in the public place, and people are stepping over it, nevertheless, we still say that it does not erase the identifying mark, and you could claim it, the owner could claim it by identifying, you know, the mark. He says, if money is found gathered together or stacked up, then even in the public, you have to announce it, you have to return it to the owner, because money you step on, you're not going to kick it around. A bundle is a huge thing, it gets in your way. So you walk, you give it a kick, it gets kicked around. So you can't identify.
The identifying mark gets worn out, right?
No, not I mean the place, the address, you can't, the owner gives up hope of saying, oh, I left it in front of 4/19/77. It's going to get kicked around. But money doesn't get kicked around. But the question is, if we're talking about a case where the owner left it there, it didn't fall down. The owner left it there intentionally. He just put it down. He stopped to eat his lunch. Well, if someone left it there, why are you allowed to take it? Maybe he's coming back. Maybe he left and he went to do something and he's coming back. And now it's gone. He never lost it. You're assuming it was lost. If it was deliberately placed there, I can't assume it was lost. He placed it there. He put it there for a few minutes. He went inside to go to the bathroom or to go back to the store to get something. and now he comes out and it's gone. He was never lost. He put it there intentionally. You have no right to take something. But the answer is it wasn't put in a place that's watched, that's protected. A person would never just leave it there intentionally that I'm coming back. He must have stopped to eat lunch and he stopped and then he forgot all about it. But a person who's deliberately placing it in order just to step away for a moment and to come back would never place it in a place where it's not guarded. Anyone can just come and take it. So therefore, obviously, he totally forgot about it, and then he thinks to himself, and therefore, the Obadona says, I could identify it, it's lost, but I could identify, and I can tell you which address, where I placed it. The reason why bundles in a public place you get to keep is because it has identifying marks. But the problem is that in the street, in the public, since everyone is stepping on it, it's going to erase the identifying mark. In a private place, let's say an address is not a siman. Just give me an address is not good enough. Just telling me that you found it in front of this in this place or this in this place, that's not good enough. But I have an identifying mark. And in a private place, the identifying mark will not be erased. But in the public place where everyone is a thoroughfare, everyone is passing through, everyone is stepping on it and kicking it around, so you can erase the identifying marks, and that's why he says you get to keep it because the owner gives up hope. Case of a loaf of bread that's made by a private person, there, even in the public place, you do have to announce why. Because the identifying mark in the bread, people don't step over food. We're very careful. Jews are very careful. We treat food very respectfully. We don't just step over food. So no one's going to step on the loaf of bread and erase the identifying mark in that loaf. We learn and we continue inside the B, one of the most famous arguments in the whole entire Talmud between Abaye and Rav. Yir shalem midas. If a person loses something, but he's not aware, he's unaware that he lost something.
It's something he would despair of.
If he would know, he would definitely despair, but he simply doesn't know yet. He doesn't know yet that he lost. Abaye says the despair doesn't count. When you found it, it still belongs to him. It's only when he consciously despairs, only then does it become ownerless. Only then do you get to keep it. And then you find it, then you keep it. But where if when you found it, the owner didn't yet consciously despair only because he wasn't aware that he lost it. No one told him the good news. And therefore he didn't yet despair. So when you found it, it belonged to him. So then you remain obligated to restore and return it to the owner. Yes, I'm not buying levy. But Rava argues, no. Rava says, I have a year. That since, if he would have known, we know for certain he would disappear. So it's just a technicality that he simply doesn't know yet. He doesn't know yet that he lost it.
Rabbi
so therefore,
Rava
says he can keep it. But who does the law follow? This is one of the, usually the law always follows Rava. Any argument by Rava, but there are six exceptions. This is one of the six exceptions. The first one, Yal Kagam, Yush, Lemida, as the law follows Abaya. Now the Gemara is going to go back and forth. But now, Bedavar Sheyesh Beisimin, if something has an identifying mark, Lamalifli, Levi Yesh. Everyone agrees Levi Yesh. Why would the owner give up hope? Even when he finds out, why would he give up hope? He can identify it. And even though we hear, let's say we heard him say, oh, I despair. After the finder finds the lost object, Levi Yesh. Because at the time, the Asali Yadi, when the lost item was found, at that moment, Bisudad Asali Yadi, he had no right to keep it because it belonged fully to the owner. He didn't give up hope yet. Because even if he's not aware of, or when he will become aware, he won't give up hope. He says to himself, the owner says, I have an identifying mark, I'll give the identifying mark, and I'll take it back, he'll give it back to me. So that, in that case, there is no argument. Another case, there is no argument. The water, when the high tide, when the tide spreads out onto the beach, and it gathers everything that's in the beach, and then it recedes back into the water and takes it back, takes it back, retrieves it, and takes it into the water. Or Shlulusa Shalnar, the overflowing river, and it sweeps everything in its path. So in such a case, you give up hope. It's lost. It's lost to you. It's lost to anyone. That's it. It's gone. The river swallowed it up. The ocean swallowed it up. It spread out. It overflowed and swept everything in its wake. Or in the regular tide, the water spreads out. And then as it recedes, it takes everything back to it, to the river, to the ocean. So then it's lost. It's gone. It's finished. In such a case, everyone agrees that is bisimin. Even if you have identifying it, Shachman Ashari, the Taita says, whoever finds it, it belongs to you. Kind of like we're going to say later on. We're going to learn later on. But in such a case, it's lost to everyone. There's no way. It's now in the ocean or in the river. How am I going to find it? So it's ownerless. So what's the argument? Keep pligging. When do they argue? The Dover Shaim Besim. They're arguing about an object that has no identifying marks. Abaye says it's not considered despair, it's not considered ownerless, because he technically didn't know that he lost it. Of course, when he finds out, he will surely despair, but right now he doesn't know. So when the person finds it, he finds something that belongs, that's owned, belongs to someone, and he becomes obligated to return it, even later on when the person finds out and he disappears. Rava says, have a yush, it is yush. Why? Because once he finds out, surely me yayish. I don't have an identifying mark. Surely, there's no way in the world I can ever find it. Therefore, even now, he gives up. Like, we can estimate, evaluate his mindset. It's as if he already gave up. So when the person found it, he found something that's ownerless, and therefore he can get the key. Not only if he have a simon, even if the owner doesn't know about it, everyone will agree, even a buyer will agree, even before the owner gives up hope. The Torah says you're allowed to take it, because it's lost. It's lost to everyone. Now he's going to bring 15 different proofs, one way or the other.
They have no marks, so
simon, right. This is a mnemonic. Talking about a simon, it's a mnemonic. Hamgash, mamgati, kas, kachsaz. Okay, so he starts at Tosfos, I'll bring you a proof. We learned peides mufazarin. We learned in the Mishnah, if you find peides mufazarin, in our Mishnah, if you find scattered fruits, and you get the key, but the owner doesn't know that you're walking, you have a hole in your bag, you come in from the store, there's a hole in your bag, and as you go, right, he doesn't know. Right, exactly. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says that you get to keep it, the finder gets to keep it. So this proves that the Rav is correct. So Gemara answers, Abaye will answer, Amar Rav Ukva b'chama hocha b'mechnashta the bizri askinon. Our Mishnah is talking about a cave. Talking about where he cleaned the place of the shire, where he gathered the grain. So he cleaned it out, and then he found scattered the grain, scattered grain, in the silo there after he cleaned it out. So Aveda Midazi. In other words, he's making it ownerless. It's not a regular case of loss and found where he lost it. Then, according to Abaye, the finder cannot keep it because how does he know? He doesn't know yet that it was lost. So his despair later on doesn't count.
But Rava says the minute it's lost, it's almost like that's it.
I'll bring you a proof from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Mois Mufazaris, if you find money that's scattered, you get to keep it. And my wily, you have a hole in your pocket and the money fell out and you're not even aware of it. So why do you get to keep it? The owner didn't disappear. When you found it, he didn't disappear yet. So it's a question to Abaye. The Gemara answers us, Nami Nik, Rabbi Yitzchak. A person is always checking his wallet, checking his pocket. You're always making sure that your wallet is there, your money is there. Or before the person found the money, the owner already is aware that he lost his money and he gave up hope. Therefore, the finder gets to keep. Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. In our mission, it says, Iguli Devei Love, you find the round pressed fig cakes. The kikris on nachdom and commercial loaves of bread. You get to keep it. The question is, the owner doesn't yet know that he dropped these cakes, or he dropped these. There was a hole in his bag, and he dropped these cakes, and he dropped these loaves. So even though once he finds out, he will surely despair because it has no identifying marks. But it doesn't matter. When you picked it up, it was still owned by the owner. So according to Abaye, why do you get to keep it? My answer is not me there. I got the kitty, maybe the other, but it's expensive. With Biden inflation, a loaf of bread today, it's expensive. A challah is expensive. And the cake. So therefore, you'll notice right away. If it's lost, you notice right away. It's not. So therefore, when the person found it and picked it up, it was already, the owner had already disappeared. Consciously disappeared. Toshma, bring your proof. It says now Mishnah Shein Shel Hagamon, and tufts of wool, dyed wool. Hareilu Shelo, you get to keep it. Vamayli, other Nafumine doesn't know. The owner doesn't yet know that it was lost. So he didn't disappear yet. So why do you get to keep it? The Gemara answers as a Namidir also. Galde Chashivim Mishushim Mashma. The same reasoning of Rabbi Yitzchak. Just like money, you're constantly checking your pocket. So too, these tufts of dyed wool are expensive, an expensive item. So surely, constantly checking. Tashma, we learn in the braise. If you find coin, if you find money in a shul, but the midrash is in the koil, in the Beis study hall, b'chol mokim, and anywhere, which is a public thoroughfare, it belongs to the Yimshom. By the Messiah, because the owner gives up hope, he disappears. Because surely someone found it and then pocketed it.
Right, and the owner despaired of it.
What's it? So the question is, the owner doesn't know. We already answered this question. With Rabbi Yitzchak. And that's what the Gemara answers now. Rabbi Yitzchak, the Muslim Gizim Cholza. So you already brought Rabbi Yitzchak earlier. Why is he asking again? Because here the question is even stronger, because we're saying that even if it has an identifying mark,
right?
Even if it has an identifying mark, since it's a public thoroughfare, right. So someone's just going to pick it up and pocket it.
Right.
If it doesn't have identifying mark, it doesn't matter where he lost it. The owner will give up hope, despair. There's no identifying mark. So he's saying it has an identifying mark, and it's only because it's a public thoroughfare. Therefore, the owner gives up hope. Surely the guy pocketed it, and it's lost. So the question is, if it has a siman that the year shalei midas, the mission is telling us that year shalei midas helps, even if it has an identifying mark. Since when the owner will find out, he'll give up hope because it's a public thoroughfare. So therefore, even now, even though it has an identifying mark, you would think maybe in a case like this, even Rabbi would agree that it still has an owner, it has an identifying mark. Why would the owner doesn't know and it still belongs to him? So we say no. That since when the owner will find out and he'll realize that it was lost in a public thoroughfare, in the base of Medrash, basically. Therefore, the owner will definitely give up hope. So if even now it's considered that if he gave up hope. And that's what Rabbi Yitzchak said it on the Braise, even though the same question is on the Mishnah, because the Braise, this way it's much stronger, that even if it has identifying marks, but since when the owner will find out, he'll give up hope because he'll realize it was lost, he's in the base of Medrash. He lost it in the base of Medrash while he was learning, in the base of Medrash, or in the base of Knesset, in Davening. Therefore, once he finds out, since he'll give up hope, even now, he already gave up hope and belongs to the finder. Even if it has identifying marks, he gets to keep it. He doesn't have to. So the Gemara answers, that's Rabbi Yitzchak answers, no. Surely the owner knows that he lost it because the person is constantly checking his pockets. Okay. Touch my bring your proof. We learn the Braise.
Time out. I have a little scenario here.
Bring your proof. We learn the Mishnah and pay it. Meim is I call out the mutarim beleket. The leket is the fallen stalks.
Falls from your hands.
Falls from your hand. You have to leave it for the poor people.
Right.
Okay. At what point does it belong to anyone? It was the poor people already gave up hope, disowned it.
Oh, it's for everyone, even the
Mashiach Ban the Mushis. Once the latecomers, the JFKs, the just for the kiddish crowd,
the rummagers,
the rummagers, once they're gone, that's it. Meine Mushis. I mean, we say Meine Mushis. These are elderly people who walk with a cane, so they walk slowly. They're the last ones there. So by the time they're done and they still left, it's still left over, no one else is coming. So the poor people already gave up hope, they disappeared, and that's it. So whoever finds it, it's ownerless, it belongs to you. Reish Lakish says, Lakuti basa Lakuti. These are the poor people who bring their children, tow their children along to collect.
Right.
After what they left over, their children should collect. The question is, why does it belong to you, the one who finds it? Even though the poor people that are present, they give up hope when they see that the latecomers are already going to the field. They said, okay, whatever is left over, they're going to find, so that's it.
We have these people, the elderly who walk with the cane. They're the
lame. But there are poor people elsewhere. They're not aware. They don't know. Yes, if they would have found out, once they find out, they're going to disappear. But right, since they practically don't know, all they know is there's a field that still has stalks to grain to gather. So they don't practically, consciously, they never gave up hope. So therefore, it belongs to the poor people. It's not ownerless. So when you go and you find it, you have to restore it. You have to restore it to the poor people. Why does the Mishnah say that you can get to keep it? How will Abaye explain the Mishnah? So Amri and the Yeshiva, they said, Kivan the Ika and Niyim Hoch. Since they are local poor people, so poor people from the world, from elsewhere, initially they write it off. They write it off. They disappear from it because the local people are going to take it. So they write it off immediately. So therefore, it's only the poor people who are present, who are local, the locals. They give up hope, then it's ownerless. Exactly. When the elderly people who are walking on a cane, they go very slowly, so they're not missing anything. Or those who bring their children in tow, to look, when they forget something, their children will collect it after them, so they're not missing anything. So if still in all they missed, nobody's coming back. Everyone gives up already. Okay, if these people are here and they're already slowly picking up every single grain that was left over, every single stalk that was left over, they disappear. Okay, we're not going to find anything here anymore. I'll bring you a proof. We learn and track it. If someone finds ksias. Ksias are figs that left out to dry. But that he find it on the road. Even if it's on the side of a field, where you spread out with the owners, spread out all the figs to dry. And so too, there's a fig tree that's the branches are leaning over the road. And he finds figs that fell underneath the branches that are hanging over the road. Whoever finds it is allowed to keep it, and there's no theft involved. It's yours. You're exempt from tithing because it's like ownerless. Anything that's ownerless, there's no owner, is exempt from tithing.
You can't tithe what you don't own,
right? So you can take it and keep it, and you don't have to tithe it. But if it's an olive tree, or if it's a carob tree, and the branches are hanging out from your private property, branches are hanging out over the road, over the street, and you find the carobs and olives that fell and are from the tree and are under those branches, also you're not allowed to take them, because it belongs to the owner. The owner does not disappear. It's not ownerless. Now, the Gemara explains. What's the question? We understand the beginning of that Mishnah. It's not a difficulty to Abaye. How could you say it's ownerless? Maybe the owner doesn't even know about it. He doesn't know that the figs fell, were detached from the tree. But I got the chashivim, Mashar Roka. Since figs are very, very significant, they're very valuable, So therefore, he's constantly keeping an eye on it. So surely he's constantly, he knows, he is aware that the figs fell, and therefore whoever finds it belongs to him. So Tainanami made the other than us. So therefore, he will know that it fell off the tree. Ella says, he's constantly looking, making sure that every last fruit is attached, every fig is attached. So he'll know, he'll notice that it fell off the tree, and therefore he'll make it ownerless, so he was consciously ownerless, and that's why the finder can keep it. Ella say, for the end, lit up Akasha going to Rava, the Tani it says, with Zeis and Macharuv and Masel. You're not allowed to say some in olives, if olives fall down, or carobs,
right,
from the hanging branches, the overhanging branches.
They're valuable, so he's always looking at
it. Because the owner didn't yet give up hope, no, even though once the owner will give up hope, he will surely give up hope, he will surely despair. But it's not considered. Why? Because now he's not aware of it. The reason why, according to Abaye, it's prohibited, because it's not usual, it's unusual for olives to become detached and to fall down, or carrots. They're very sturdy. It's a very sturdy tree, and they're very sturdy.
So they still look good, even when...
No, so the owner doesn't know. There's no way for the owner to know. He doesn't even think. He's not looking. Yes, something is significant. You're constantly checking your pocket. So in the case of figs, he's constantly making sure that the figs did not fall off the tree. Here, he's not paying attention because, yes, they're very significant. Of course, olives are very significant and carrots, but he's not checking because it's unusual it should fall off. He's not anticipating for it to fall off. He takes it for granted it's not going to fall off. Even though once it falls off, he would despair. Why? Because he thinks himself, dishonest people are going to take it. They really have no right to take it. Just like they have no right to take the figs, but they're not going to pay attention. Even though it's clear that the figs are coming from this tree, it fell off of this branch, even though it's in the public sphere. But the people who are not careful, people who don't care, will just take it. Hey, it was in the street, look what I found. They don't care. Well, look up. You see that branch is coming from that private property? Surely this fig fell from that tree that belongs to someone, this fig belongs to someone. But people won't care, they'll just take it. That's what the owner thinks to himself. Forget it. If it's in the public street, just like in the Beis HaMedrash, even if it had identifying marks, people don't care. Hey, are you kidding? I found money. I davened well. Hashem answered my prayer. I found the $100 bill. I'm not giving it back. Are you kidding? So the owner gives up hope. But in the case of olives, in the case of carobs, the owner is not paying attention because it's unusual for it to follow. So therefore, even once he finds out, he will definitely despair. But as long as he didn't find out, he didn't despair. This proves that by his point, the question of Rava. That means, nevertheless, the Mishnah says that it's prohibited. Why? According to Rava, since once he finds out, he would surely despair. Even now, the finder should be able to take it. Shiny Zeiss. The reason why it's prohibited is because you can tell where it's coming from.
Right.
Maybe the other, everyone knows, no one should duchte the inish. The place of a person is named after the person. The person changes the place. You know, you leave your mark. Every person leaves a mark on his place. Duchte the inish. So too, every tree leaves a mark on its figs. You can't compare the figs of one tree to another tree. So I can tell that these figs come from this tree.
Right.
Not only if the figs are right up beneath the branch, obviously it fell from here, it didn't fall from elsewhere. But even if it falls a little further, you can tell these figs, the wind blew it, it came from this field. So the owner does not. Okay, that's the case of Philadelphia.
It should be the same for the figs.
Yeah, the same for the figs. Not only in the case of the olives and the carrots, but the same for the figs. Philadelphia nami. Samara papa teino im nefilos in the message. There's a different reason. The fig, once it falls,
they look bad.
And they're dirty. They're dirty. No one's gonna eat it. No one's going to eat it.
They don't look too appealing, yeah.
Right. But olives.
They look so beautiful. Right?
Olives, doesn't matter if it falls, or carobs. Yeah, to be continued, everyone have a wonderful day. Nice stop.